Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thank you guys for all sitting out there with me while I was down sick again for the week. You guys are amazing. I tell you that all the time, and I'll never get tired of thanking you for your never-ending support and for sticking it out while I'm on my hiatuses, and you come right back and spring right back up in the chat rooms and sending you well wishes. I appreciate you guys to no end. So let's get started. I want to thank God for another day of being here because life is short and everything you see in the news nowadays is making you realize just how short life really is. You know, with or without an illness, if it's not you, someone else is shortening a life. So thanking God for every moment that I am here to share with you guys, with my family, and whatever aspect of the community that I touch as we connect. Getting back to some very important things tonight, let's start out with the shout-outs to some special people. Our listener of the night is Mr. Tylon Washington. Those of you who are long-term listeners with me, you know this man. You know of his franchise, GoPro Radio. He is out there making little community revolutions with his community projects, with his outreach to the communities that he's in, with Black empowerment, with community empowerment. He's amazing. I'm proud to have him as a friend. I'm proud to have him as a professional networking associate. So, Tylon, thank you for being you. Thank you for your support, and thank you for everything that you do on, off the air, and in my life and out. So, additionally, I want to say thank you to some special people on the community local people front. As all of you know, I have purchased myself a little car, and it's not a Maserati by any means. It's an older car, which sometimes makes it difficult to find things that's needed when a repair happens or a repair need arises. So I have to say I haven't really had that problem with my car, but when I have, I ran into a big doozy with this one. So I want to shout out the following people from the Safe Light in Queens Village, Safe Light Auto Glass Center in Queens Village. First, thanking the shop managers, Tom and Angel. Tom, you were amazing with helping me through a very difficult problem, helping me find a difficult part, and also helping me get a difficult situation handled with all of your amazing staff members. I want to thank the mobile tech Larry that came out to my premises, tried to fix it, but it was too big a job to fix it on the site. So he recommended we go into the shop. The shop managers, Tom and Angel, thank you very much for sticking it through with me and even helping me reduce the cost that I was going to pay. And finally, the guy who actually put the job together in the shop, that was David. So those of you who are out there in the Queens area, or even if you're coming into New York, you've got an issue, you call these guys out there in Safe Light, Queens Village. They're amazing. Courtesy, customer service, just everything is amazing over there. I want to shout out a couple of special people. Angelica Ayana from my CVS Optical Clinic who helped me get my glasses that I needed. And a new lady, fellow twin mom, Vanessa, who I also met in CVS today. Want to thank you guys for all of your input and all the things that you have done in your area. So thanking you for that and thanking you for indulging me and finding things that we were talking about substantial. Again, our listener of the night is Tylon Washington. Listen to him. Go out to GoProRadio.com. I believe that's it. He'll be on sometime tonight, and he'll let you know what the proper links are. Now, I want to thank all of you for supporting my children's group. that you heard their song the last time we were here. I got huge requests for people to ask me to play it again tonight. That song is called Colorless. So I'm going to go out tonight with that as my pre-broadcast song. However, they have now opened up an official channel, and they have another upcoming single, which I'm going to be gracing my platform tonight with a 30-second preview of their newest upcoming single called Someone Like You. So it's going to be part of our commercials breaks before I come back on. Tonight, we're going to be speaking on part two of our three-part relationship series. Now, today, it's called Keeping the Balance in Relationships, part two, the Family and Friends edition. Now, we were speaking on the respect versus expect protocol in unbalanced relationships. Today, we're going to apply that to family and friend relationships. And I want to make sure that you understand that we spoke part one, for those of you just joining us on this, about intimate relationships with your intimate partner, your husband, your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. Either way, we spoke about unbalanced, you know, the keeping the balance in that. And what we're going to speak about today is two things: how our siblings and our family members can be something we have to monitor, as well as the type of friendships that we're keeping, our besties or people that we just hang around with. If they're not besties, but they've been around with us a while, are they toxic? Are they productive? Are they salvageable in ways where we can tweak some things and communicate and things can change for the better? Or are at some point, do you have to evaluate what's going on in your life with them in it? And is it something that's actually considered toxic? That's what we're going to be speaking on today. So as I said, as per request from my listeners, here is my children's group, Untitled 3D, as it's called on Amazon Music. They're Untitled. This is called Colorless. We'll be listening to that.
Message has been received.
A word from our sponsors. The preview of the 30-second clip that's coming back, and then I'll be back to get part two started. So you guys, don't go away. I'll be right back, and thank you all for hanging out with me.
I'm scared that these thoughts destroyed my health. I'm locked in the dark and I can't get out. I'm afraid of these demons that feed in my doubts. but I messed up, can't stand up. Waiting is the key, so I'm told I don't wanna die. Live alone, I have hurt when I'm old, can I wait? No. And right now I'm questioning if I can go on. My brain will blister, he's just a boy, but them dark thoughts took away his joy. While the devil sits and plays him like a toy. While the boy is gone, consider no no better. The devil sits and writes his letter to another kid who was also lost, who manages to get his favorite sweater. As he puts him in your place, or at least what he told you, made you believe you were best friends to the very end, but you're not. Ooh, yeah. I need help for myself. Can anyone help me? I'm in a dark place, dark time. Can anyone save me? All these demons in my head, I feel like I can't fight.
Haunted in the shadows, in my mind, it's a battle.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On The Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back, listeners, and now, without further ado, here is the newest single of the upcoming group, Untitled, and as it's called in Amazon Music, Untitled 3D. This is a clip of a song they got coming up called Someone Like You, and from what they explained to me, and you'll be hearing from them soon on their own little featurette, but it's about a person that's longing after another person that is probably wrong for them. And I think that the kids call it being a simp. I'm getting old, so I'm not trying to catch up, but they'll explain it better whenever they have their little interview coming up. Anyway, here it is, 30 seconds of Someone Like You by Untitled. Be back in 0.3 seconds. I'll be right back. And that concludes the preview, guys. If you want to hear a little bit more about these guys, let me tell you. We are in the process of doing so much stuff with some young kids coming up. We are designing new websites with people in the community, young kids, moms. And I can tell you that right now they actually have something called a hyperfollow page that their music distribution site has provided for them. I will be providing that link. If you guys will write this down, email me and at the show site at teamontheedge, one long word, teamontheedge@gmail.com. In the subject line, please put down hyperfollow link, and I will send you the link so that you can sample all of the music that these guys have in their first album that they're getting together and how you can purchase the music, which the proceeds goes to them rebuilding their studio, adding up stuff on their own, as well as using their music to help other kids stay positive in the middle of everything that's going on in this society. So I really am proud to be their mom, but I'm actually like a groupie because I'm listening to them totally outside of the mom role, and I'm a fan. I'm listening to them, and I'm like, I hate trap music, but like nowadays, these kids, they're making me really proud, you know, to be their mom and just to know that they're listening to what I say to other people as well to them. So they're amazing as my children. You guys are amazing as my family online here at in our little family show. And Tylon, if you're listening out there, thank you for all that you have been doing once again to earn our right to be listener of the night. Terry, if you're out there, I know you are somewhere. Thank you for all that you do. And you guys, when you come on, I would really love your honest opinion, and so do they, about the clip that you heard. So let's get started on tonight's topic. Keeping the balance in relationships, part two, the family and friends edition. So we all know, guys, that every relationship we form in our lives, no matter what the nature of it or what relativity we have to the person, has to be handled with a mixture of respect, teamwork, and perspective in order for us to have a way to maintain a healthy balance with it. Now, more often than not, and we've said this in the first, and this applies to the second and third part of the series, more often than not, we find ourselves sometimes being more unbalanced to one side, where one person is taking on all of the jobs that it takes to keep the relationship together. And sometimes, could be without them noticing it, could be that they're planning to have it stay just the way it is. We have an issue where the balance of respect and expectation of what one of those people are doing in the relationship becomes a very blurred line. For example, one of the things that we brought up when we were speaking about the intimate relationships, which is the spouse or the intimate partner, is things like, you know, don't worry, baby, I got it. You lose your keys, I'm going to help you find your keys. But sometimes if she's a mom that, or he's a dad that's the stay-at-home parent that's got to handle not just the kids but the house and take care of you when you get back, and then you have to make sure that everybody is in balance. And depending on how old the children are, they have to be behind them anyway as a natural progression of things because, you know, little kids are reckless. They don't know what they're doing, and you got to keep at them. So if you have four little children, you really don't want to have a big child too who's supposed to be sharing the burden. While something as innocent as I'm just forgetful can turn into I'm not even going to try to not be forgetful because my wife or my husband handles it. But if you see that person in your life is actually trying to make a difference and just can't get the balance of it or whatever the case is, then you know it's an equal partnership. They're not trying to put it all on you. They just really can't get it together. But they're 85% good on everything else. But if you see that person is just like, well, why would I do it when you're doing it? We have an issue there. And then that becomes a situation where you have to start saying, I think it's time to put this on the communication table and get this addressed. Now, when we're speaking about the spouses, that I think that's like the ultimate, that right there is like the ultimate close to your heart type of vulnerability that can happen because, yes, you're close to your parents. Yes, you're close to your siblings. Yes, you're close to your friends. But when you have that special person in your life and your children, then there's another type of bond that comes a little stronger than even those I've just mentioned, that if that person's opinion comes out one way or the other, it's going to drastically affect the way that you are. You know, if they say something hurtful, it's going to stay with you for a while. And if they celebrate you, it's going to stay with you for a while. So the intimate aspect and the intimate connection that you have with that special person is pretty big. Now, let's go down to the next situation, which is we're talking about today, which is family and friends. Now, family is tricky. Family is tricky because most of the time your parents, you know, and like I said, barring any extreme situations, normally your parents have taught you, hey, that's your brother, that's your sister, you, no matter what happens outside, you always have to protect them. No matter what happens, I'm your mom and that's my dad, and we have to make sure that we are together. No matter what goes on, we have each other's back. Sometimes that can be a problem when you get older and have your own lives if it's not done properly, if there is no balance. And this is where it can start to have a line that is very thin between being family and it becoming a toxic situation. So I'll give you a couple examples. If you've got a brother or a sister, a sibling you're really close to. I know I was close with one of my siblings, like besties. You know, and if you find yourself, if you're the older sibling, it's usually the older sibling who shares the experience with the younger one and helps them through it or shares experiences they've had already, and you find yourself as an adult with your own lives being more sucked up into still taking care of your younger sibling, and that person doesn't seem to have any regard for what's going on in your life when they call to help you with their problems. That could be a sign of toxicity in progress or already in full bloom. I will give you an example. Take my situation. I'm a talk show host. At a certain time of night, I'm going to broadcast, which means if I'm a thorough co-host, I'm going to spend at least the last 3 hours of my day before I get on to my show, researching, interviewing, doing everything I need to do to bring my material to the table. And then I have to open up my studio 15 minutes beforehand to start getting everybody ready to come in. Now, if I have a sister or a friend or a brother that is going to call me 2 minutes before I'm due to be on the air, and I've got to be on the air live in front of all these people, whether they can see me or just hear me, it's still live. And this is a time that you pick to want to talk about a problem that's not an emergency. I'm not speaking about somebody got hurt, somebody's in the hospital, or anything to that effect. Something that might be hurtful for them, but or emotionally, but this isn't the time to call and have a conversation because I can't dedicate myself to you fully. And you need to respect the fact that I have a life outside of what's going on. So if you have a person that's calling you and no matter what you're telling them is going on in that very moment that they're calling you, and all they want to do is talk, or if you find, listen, if you have a household like mine full of bustling children or things always happening, and while you're on the phone, something happens and you have to keep saying to the person, excuse me, hold on a minute, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this. If that person is not taking it on their end to say, well, you know what, call me back when you're settled. I'm sorry, I know you. I know this is your busy hour. Call me back when you're settled. If it's a situation that can wait for a few, then that person is going to stand there and listen to you fuss with your children or, you know, be harebrained as you run around the house. And they don't mind waiting while they're listening to all that. Or if you tell them that you have to run and use the bathroom and they want to sit there and wait for you or tell you to take the phone with you, you have issues. And we tend as a person, as people, to think that because it's our sibling we grew up with or because it's a parent, which that's actually going to be on Friday's conclusion, but if it's a parent or just even someone we grew up with, you know, like it could be Uncle Jack or Cousin Jay or whatever the case is, because we grew up close like that, that we have this obligation to stop what we're doing and cater to the obligation that we were taught we have to have for our siblings, forgetting the fact that we are grown now, forgetting the fact that even when we weren't grown, there's still a time and a place for certain things to happen. Forgetting the fact that other people have to understand that, you know, there's other things going on in everybody's world besides that one thing. And if you find yourself saying, I want to be that person, that good person, or, you know, I understand what it feels like to be in that position, but you're stopping what you have to do and taking time off from finishing something very important to you to give that person time. And that person is not respecting the fact that, hey, she really took a minute aside for me. You know, let me try to figure out what's going on. There's a problem there. There's an absolute problem there. If that person, no matter what, you know, if you have spent your time being supportive of your sibling or your cousin or whatever the person is, even your friends, no matter what was going on in your life, you always stopped and had time to help that person feel better, because maybe you feel, in my case, that happened a lot of times with friends. I always felt like, you know what, the Lord put me in this position where I went through that situation and I came out on the other side of it. Maybe this person just needs a suggestion or to hear my story and see if maybe something I did they can try and can help for them. But that person is not actually trying to hear advice. They're trying to cling to you to feel good about the wounds they keep opening up themselves. That usually happens. You know, you never hear from this person when there is no problem. Or that person doesn't come around and just hang with you for no reason because you're the great person that you are. But they, when something really big and deep is happening that they don't know how to handle, and you're that person that always puts that good strength and that good word of strength in their ear, that becomes an addiction for them. And you are starting to slowly lose your grip on the life you have, because you feel that if you stop while this person is in need or while this person is hurting or while this person is calling on you for help, that you're the person that's going to be wrong, forgetting the fact that you have a life first. And the fact that you've given them the time that you've given them should tell them a lot, and that should be appreciated and respected, but instead it's become something that's expected. That person will pick up the phone because you've always given them time and say, hey, you know, you got a few minutes, even if you don't, or are you doing anything, or are you busy? When that person starts to call you and don't even ask you, are you busy? I need to talk to you. We got issues. And if that can't be corrected and addressed in communication, or if you do bring it up and that person continues to do the same thing, and maybe after another friendly reminder, the behavior doesn't change, it's something that you're going to have to make a decision on. I'm going to talk to this person, I'm going to make them hear me, and I'm going to see what's up. And if that person continues to slowly but surely, and this can happen, either the person gets offended and walks away, or the person goes, oh my God, I'm sorry, you're right, and slowly but surely returns right full circle back to where they started, that's a decision then that becomes of something you have to deal with. You have to make a decision. Now, I actually want to open up the lines early today because I want to hear, and this goes for friends. If friends are constantly, if they're real friends, your situation in life is going to dictate how they approach you. If they're single and you're married, and there are certain things that married couples and families do, a real friend who's single wouldn't dare try to break that up. So my perfect example is, if it's Valentine's Day, if it's Christmas, if it's Thanksgiving, and your friend is married with children, you would be really, really messed up to try to convince that married person to leave their spouse and their kids on a day that's usually assigned to the family to come hang with you and then make them feel guilty or try to shame them into saying, oh, my God, since you got married, you must be whipped. Oh, since you got married, you become soft. Oh, my God, I remember when you used to live it up or drink it up or do whatever. Well, that's not happening now, and I still think that you're worthy of being my friend, but now let's see what happens. If you start seeing that your friend knows that something you've been trying to do your whole life finally is happening for you, and they're not the first person standing in line to cheer you on, but you've done that for them, start reevaluating what it is that you want to do or how you want to deal with this person. That's my take. So I want to hear your take on that. And I do wish that, you know, for the young men listening in, or they're going to ask me about it, be honest, because they want your honest opinion on what you think of their little clip. And I would like to know, too, because I'm always helping them correct little things when they ask. And we want the best product for them coming out, because I want their best foot forward. So if anybody, if you're listening in on the stream and you want to join in tonight, please do me a favor and switch out your streaming listen to a telephone listen. You have to call 347-327-9967, and you must press the number 1 so that I know that you want to talk. And that's what's happening today. So, yeah, I actually saw that. Yes, so my first caller is coming in right now. Give me a second. Good evening and welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Katie. This is Tyline. How are you doing?
Hi, Vince. What's up?
Well, you know what? As usual, it's a great topic, man. You always get the really, really great. And I think not only is it a great topic, but, you know, it goes a long way in healing our families. You hear a lot of people talking about, you know, healing the family and bringing families together. But no one really talks about and gives and delivers the kind of scenarios that you kind of bring up and deliver so that we can kind of hone in and focus. And we all can relate to what you're talking about. You know, I have a huge family. I come from a family of 12, you know, 6 boys, 6 girls. I'm a twin, so I happen to have been born with my best friend. You know, Tyone, I'm going to shout her out. She's a principal at the High School for Excellence and Innovation in New York City. I want to give her a big shout out. But I also brought some help. You know, my partner in crime, and speaking of families, you know, we live in this age and time where technology gives us an opportunity to create our own families and developing new relationships and connections with people. And one of those people that I've connected with and developed a really great relationship with, and I call him a brother from another, a mother, is a Dr. Ron Christopher Osborne, who is on this call right now. We're going to do a show called the Colored Only Cafe. I think I told you about it. And yes, the date has been shifted from the 13th. We're going to start this show on the 20th. And hopefully you'll be able to join in, Katie, and be a part of the wonderful mosaic that's going to be very, very interesting and powerful and uplifting, just like your show. One of the things that kind of stood out with your scenario, just want to get back on track, is that, you know, you have family members that are saboteurs, dream killers, and mm-hmm. and as we get older, we kind of get a sense of, like, you know, people in our family who have certain kind of tendencies that are not conducive to, I guess, the direction you want to go into in life. And you know, sometimes brothers and sisters and cousins, those are kind of like accidents of birth. And those are usually the family. That's not really your family. That's your mother and father's family. You know, the family that you make is the family, let's say, like with, like, you know, you and your children, which, by the way, that track is awesome. I love it. I think they have a really, really great future. As a matter of fact, I'd like to connect them with this project that, you know, I'm working on right now with National Black Political Conference. One was held in 1972, and we're coming up to the 50th anniversary of this conference. And I was today I was with Mayor Ross Baraka, Mayor
Chukwe,
and Lumumba, James Mtume, did the song Juicy Fruit.
Right,
Professor Leonard Jeffries, and just so many of the names. I want to thank Deshaun Farrar for inviting me. Now I'm part of the media panel, and we're talking about young people, getting more young people involved. And this is going to be a huge event. It's going to be a national, in fact, an international event where we're going to talk about a black agenda. And it's going to be a very powerful a presentation. It's going to happen next year in April, and I would love to get those young people who did that song to be a part of this. This would be a great springboard to bring them into a national, in fact, an international audience. But, So I think that's going to be great. But, I don't know if because I can't see the controls, if Dr. Ron, he is way smarter than I am. Really, really good friend. He's here.
Well,
yeah,
you can press one, and I'll see him.
Yeah, he's a therapist. He deals with family, and particularly with fathers, all the time. He's a family advocate. He works with the folks to help them navigate home visits, dealing with the courts, and I kind of brought me some help because I had a full day today. You know, when you called me early, I was at the convention getting ready to speak.
Oh my God. Well, let me tell you something. I was in my car, and I don't know what is it about certain areas I drive in that, you know, I'll have a full signal, and then 30 seconds into that signal, I start sounding like I'm an android underwater. It's like the worst. But I do see the next caller's hand there. Just hang on. Tylon, I did see a clip of the National Black Conference thing with you, and I'm always so proud to tell people that I'm involved with you and all the people that come on this panel. Because as you know, this little show that I'm doing, I'm not an Oprah by any means, but this is my little pond. I'm the big fish.
Who's Oprah? Who's that?
Okay, wait. You know, what I mean is, you know what I've always said, I'd rather reach that small, steady group, because these things to me are substantial. Like you said, repairing the black family to me, which is one of the most strongest, most resilient institutions ever to start in, where I like to be a woman that advocates for right, whether it's the men are doing it right this time and the women got it wrong, or, you know, that's just me. I want, and I need to be clear because my sons are going to ask. When you said you liked the song, are we talking about the one we already know you like that I played or the new clip?
Yeah, both of them. The new clip just wanted and you know, I kind of think that was like a strategy because it, as soon as you stopped it, I was like, I wanted more. I was like, why did you stop getting into it? Yeah, it just
absolutely not.
In.
Okay,
Not because the music good. I mean, the message is so powerful and it's necessary. And, you know, sometimes you have people who have really good messages in their song, but the production value is bad and it's not good. And you kind of like it because you're like, but here, it was a perfect match with a really, really good groove, really good beat, and just powerful messages. And that's what we really need right now. Their sound is so necessary right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'd like to invite them, you know, if you could put me in contact with them so that we can get them involved with this movement, that would be really fantastic.
Well, Tylon, because there's a caller right behind you, I just want to say this one thing to you, and I want the listeners to hear. If you guys are watching the stream or listening by stream, you will see in the slideshow, really cute, handsome guy, bald head, and glasses. That's Tylon, and right next to him should be the flyer of his network, the GoPro Radio Network, and he has a lot of subtitles under GoPro, but I say GoPro Radio, the whole network, and I'm amazed with what you do, and this topic tonight is something that you and I actually touched on way back when I first hooked up with you, when I was explaining to you that I wanted to try to bring people in to do whatever, and, you know, a lot of people fell by the wayside because they started out hollering great about everything we need to hear, you know, like people walking around saying Black Lives Matter, but really it's about being on TV and the protest more than the actual
right.
mission.
Right.
So that's something that I want everybody to know. And by the way, that project you just spoke about, I have a similar project just like that to include some things. So I believe that if we can get together and network this, we will have a really big stream. I'm going to tell you about it after the show. Now,
okay.
I don't want to take time out from the other people. You stay on the line and let me bring in the next person, okay?
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And thanks for your input, darling. Okay.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to the show. You're on the air with Katie.
Hey, Katie, how you doing?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is Ron Osborne Williams.
Hi, Taiwan, you're Ron?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, okay. Welcome to the show. I hope you like what you're hearing. And Taiwan's told me so much about you, so let me ask you what your opinion is on tonight's topic. Family and friends, do you feel that we have a big chance of losing ourselves and trying to support and connect with our family and some of our friends?
Well, I mean, being that Thanksgiving was just the past weekend, I think that one of the big things that we probably just given is, and a theme has been said to me over and over the last couple of days, is family is family. And that statement is so powerful in the
mm-hmm.
mindset of saying, what do our family do? Who do we pick our families? Our families through our blood, or our families? How do we determine that? And what I found is a lot of times we see, especially in today's society, that people are making their families from themselves and for themselves.
Right.
We see a culture. We see even a new culture in the LGBT community where they're making their own families. You see people deciding that somebody else is more their blood than their real blood because that person is fitting with them. And I think you were speaking on this idea of people being around people who may be family or may be important friends to them, who are always seeming as if they are putting them down or putting them in a place that is not what you would expect family to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because sometimes we're very unclear about what family is. We have this Hollywood-made idea of family instead of really focusing family based on who the people are that I want to be around and who are there for me. So definitely understand that topic.
I agree. And my thing is, I found out a lot of times that blood doesn't always make family. Blood makes biology in a lot of cases. And I believe that it's just like, you know, a lot of people that don't have fathers that biologically raised them, they biologically created them, but they walked off when the real work happened. And what do you call the man that stepped up and did the right thing and went through the scraped knees and went through the rebellious teen stage and went through the, you know, I'm gonna love you whether you love yourself right now or not? What do you call them? You know, does law and blood, you know, stop that? When, for example, Taiwan and you obviously are very successful people in what you're doing. If you have a sibling, let's say, that was with you when you were just pretending to be Martin Luther King on a podium, now you're a big-time public speaker. Now people are paying you to do gigs. Wouldn't you think that instead of your family coming up and saying, hey, can you give me some free tickets to come to your fundraiser? Instead of saying, no, I want to pay because what you're doing is for a community, it's for a cause. Not saying that you wouldn't, as a sibling, say, you know what, sis? Let me take the option to say, no, thank you, I got it, you come and I want you to be there, so don't worry about paying. Not to assume that because you're my blood brother or you're my cousin or you're somebody that raised with me, you know, on the block, like we're like brothers and like sisters, that you have an entitlement to get something free. I wrote a book. I have 7 siblings or 8 siblings. Instead of my siblings go, hey, when am I going to get my signed copy? They should say, sis, I'm proud of you. I remember when you were scribbling on the front stoop when everybody else was jumping double dutch. Hey, I'm going to be your first customer because I'm proud of my little sister. You get what I mean? That's my problem with when it becomes loving your family and standing by your family and toxicity. Because if that person, no matter how much you speak, is still going back to what pleases them at your expense, it's not then something that to me becomes family.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you're saying that, because I think that I'm saying again, from Thanksgiving, this has been an issue and a topic maybe for a lot of people. But I'm gonna just turn the corner a little bit on that, on what you're saying, the idea that, you know, family is always expecting you to do something for them in some way. And I think that at some point there are people in our society who if they make it to a certain place or do certain things, they want to, they end up and they feel like they have to provide for their family. They have to be, they're the ones who made it. And so they is this, as I would say, success guilt that they would have to say, you know, I'm the most successful person in my family. Now, with coming with that being most successful in my family also comes a complex that that person may receive based on, you know, knowing that everyone depends on them. So that there's two sides to that story. You know, this idea of, and it is sometimes nice to maybe meet people who don't want something from you.
Right.
But at least, I just weigh on the side of family sometimes, because at least you know your family's not going to fake like they don't want. They want something, they just got the hand out. They're not going to fake like they like you and they're friends with you for something. They got the hand out from day one. Because
and that doesn't make it right either, though.
It's because they're family.
That doesn't make it right, though. And listen.
I didn't say anything right.
I'm speaking on them, sweetheart, not what you're saying. I'm speaking that it doesn't make it right for them to feel that they can and they should. I'm going to say this. What you just said is absolutely true. I get that. That, you know, people who made it in the family feel like they should go back and help. Now, look, I'm a person that if I get to that point, I definitely will reach back and help my family, but I will help my family to the point of saying, this is what I did. I can help you get started here. But the one thing I've learned, and not just with blood family, but friends and networking and professional aspect too, you can't live other people's dreams for them. You can't get them to be happy if they don't know what they want or what makes them happy. And no matter what you do, and I use this example quite often, and that's something you've heard me say, Ty. Michael Jackson, biggest billionaire, man achieved such superstardom that all people had to do was say, I'm going to go see Michael play today. And they'd be like, Michael Jackson? They don't even think Michael Jordan. They automatically think it'll be Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson achieved the type of crazy, you know, status with the world that he gives on stage wearing corny outfits, raise his hand up and people are fainting and crying as if he's God and blew a worldly breeze around the world. You know, this man that is loved like that, worshipped and idolized like that, was so unhappy with himself that he took the money he made. Yes, he was brilliant in business, brilliant in performing, brilliant in creativity, but so unhappy that he ruined his face, that he over-perfected himself, that he strived for over-perfection and still wasn't happy and still was pretty much considered weird or whatever it was in all his genius. Because the one place he was supposed to be, which was in himself, and the one set of people that was supposed to back him up and rear him in safety and guidance and protection failed him. All he spoke about was Joseph calling him big nose and ugly and, you know, out of whatever. That takes an effect. And then the minute that they got where they're supposed to be, it's a whole different story. And that's the thing. I feel like a person in the family, especially if you all grew up and you all know what it was and all of you strive together, if you made it somewhere, if you're this close-knit of a family, first of all, those who didn't make it yet should be celebrating the person that did if they were close like that, if they're family. And that person that made it should then lean back and say, here, I want to do this for you. I want to, you know, I'll give you, if you want to go be a hairdresser and you get your license, come to my show and be the hairdresser for my show. If you want to be, you know, you want to write, I got my book published and now I have a publishing company. Come on and let me help you get it edited and I can put it through. That's what you do when you're helping family. But you know something? Family shouldn't expect that somebody else's work, that all they did was sit and practice and work at it and work at it and put every bit of sleeping time they had into dreaming about the next creation and finally made it. And because that person said, well, good, now that you made it, hey, I can jump on your back because I'm your sis, right? Or I'm your brother, right? Or we've been best friends since we were in kindergarten.
But, Katie, can I ask you, what?
Yeah,
is
sure,
it possible,
Michael.
Is it possible in that particular scenario, right, that
mm-hmm,
you can actually
mm-hmm.
be an enabler because the family member can feel like, you know, you're successful or, you know, you have X, Y, and Z, so it's their birthright? Whether they're your cousin or your brother that you're supposed to or, you know, try to get to when you might say, wait a minute, you know, you're capable of doing X, Y, and Z, and it can actually become a disastrous situation. Or like I said, you become an enabler. And, you know, and I think when you have money, right, the tendency is to throw money at problems or challenges that
right.
family members might have as opposed to kind of, sitting down and saying, well, look, you know, you think you need money, but maybe you need a counselor. Maybe you need an accountant. Maybe you
mm-hmm.
need, you know, a business manager. You know, maybe you need, as opposed to, you know, coming to the table, you know, a lot, you know, with, hey, I'm going to pay your rent and this, that, and the other. And maybe you need a different living situation. Maybe you live in, you know, past your means. I think when it comes to the needs of particularly of black families and stuff like that, we not only have to be creative, but we have to have a dynamic kind of like, what do you call it, resources in our tool belt so that, you know, the successful one or who's considered, whatever that is, because that's another conversation, right? Like what is success, right? And how relative it is in our community because the resources are so scarce. And that, you know, we live in an oppressive society. We live with a capitalist society where, you know, everything is about, you know, money and
mm-hmm.
family members kill people. I mean, we know, famous people who, and I know to some extent what happened with, what's that singer name? And come to find out it was over money. He killed the father. And she's a famous, Jennifer Hudson. You know, and
wow.
and the boyfriends and you know, it's, you know, in that entangled in some of that was like this high idea of status and fame and, you know,
right.
so, you know, more like Biggie said, more money, more problems. But I think that if we look beyond that and say like and look at people holistically in terms of what people might need in our family. And we come from a space of love and communications.
Right.
I mean, Ron, am I right on this, or you think I'm off base?
Well, I mean, I'm glad you're bringing that right point, Tylon, because you know, one part that we're adding in something that makes this extra is we're adding in capitalism. We're adding because
right.
we're all poor together. Nobody is dependent on anybody. We're working together to get it.
Right.
But when you have somebody who has achieved, everyone in that community feels that this person needs to, you know, find a way for all of us to achieve. And a lot of times the person who has achieved don't have the knowledge on how to help everybody get to where they're at. And that's where some of the problem occurs. Like, you know, I've always said, if I ever won the lottery, and, you know, you win the lottery, win a billion, a dollar, whatever, what are you mm-hmm. doing with the money? Oh, well, I'm going to clearly make sure that I set people up. So they don't have to ask them. I'm going to give them opportunities to make their own money based on investments that will make me more money. And if they don't want to do an investment, then you don't want anything from me.
But let me play devil's advocate like that. And Katie kind of mentioned this. She alluded to this when she said, you know, you might know a family member who has certain kind of behaviors, right? They're horrible
uh-huh.
with money, right? They're not good with money. And then let's say you win the lotto, and then you set them up, in another 6 or 7 months, you're going to say, yo, what happened to that, you know, rack I gave you?
That's what I just said, Talon. I'm not giving them any money. I'm not giving anybody.
Right.
Listen, the biggest failure you can do to a person who is poor, who didn't have anything, is to give them something that they don't know how to handle.
Right.
I want to address both of you guys on that one, because I think I wasn't clear on what I was saying when I said if the person got successful to give back. I clearly meant to give them a platform to start for themselves, and that's exactly what I mean. And both of you are absolutely right. You definitely I know if Tylon is a parent. I don't know if you're a parent, Ron, but what I'm saying is I'm sure everybody's familiar with what they call the traffic light parenting protocol. Red, green, yellow. And that's what you have to do. If you know that you got, you know, cousin Jay is a crackhead or a former crackhead or likes to drink, you're definitely not going to say, I'm taking this hard-earned money or even this money and I'm going to give it to you to go drink yourself to death. No. But if you know that that person's drinking because something they wanted so badly, they tried and every opportunity that they were given was thrown in their face. For example, if he's a black man of a certain age, got the knowledge, how many Uncle Charlie craft mechanics do you know that they if only they had the push to be able to get the real certification, they can own something right now. But they've got the knowledge but don't have the requirements or the credentials. That's something I would say. I would sit down and I would say, I've been watching you try to do this for some time. Are you seriously trying to still get this done? Guess what? I don't have much. And this I'm speaking right now because I can say this as my example from a first-hand walk. I have a show. I have a little webcast, a little podcast, okay? I can tell you right now, you know what I can offer? Whatever my show has the ability to do. For example, I have a little showcase I was doing on Saturday. Before I got sick, I had a 7-day show. I'm slowly building back to that. But here's the deal. On Saturdays, I had a bunch of people that just babysitting. They don't have a big agency. They're just people that do babysitting out their house with their own kids, and they took the neighborhood kids on to allow a mother to go to school or allow a kid to go to work or do whatever, and they don't have to worry about child care because they already know this person. This person's great with their child, and they charge a little money. So what do? I use my Saturday showcase to bring unnamed, unknown entrepreneurs a platform to advertise. To say this, that's what I can do for my community, to bring back until everybody can get on their feet and we can re-empower our black economy once again. Do I have money? No, I don't have any money. This is a free webcast, but I'm going to do something with it. That's my success. That's my give back. My family was homeless twice. I'm a victim of domestic violence, and now I'm a survivor. I just lost my abusive ex-husband, but it's still my children's father. So I have a way where people who don't have a voice in the world they live in have a voice here with somebody who walks that walk with them. I'm not an expert. I'm not a person that can offer anything except shared experiences and how did I get where I'm at and the power of positivity. And let's get out there and use what we have to do what we can. So, no, I'm not going to give you my hard-earned work knowing that you're just going to be lazy, lay around, and wait for me to do it again. But I am going to tell you that if you're serious, I can give you this. Because you know why? In this world, sometimes exposure is the salary.
Yeah, well, you know, let me say this. Allow me to say that the wealth that black people have is within us. It's not money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
capital. I mean, you alluded to this. You know, I think, you know, the fact that, you know, you have this kind of genuine and authentic heart of wanting to heal our families and heal the community. I could say the same for Ron and so many people
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that's in my circle that I call my family, right? You know, you have the biological family, and then, you know, you have the family that you can now create on your own. You can set up groups, you know, with similar interests on Facebook
right.
and things like
which
that.
Which is what
they become into family. Gangs, I mean, people join gangs because of camaraderie and, you know, trying to get together and people trying to make connections. And I'm not advocating for, you know, criminal kind of things, but what I'm saying is that we all as human beings want to make these meaningful connections so we can have more fulfilling life. And I think, you know, and the way that we connect with each other. And I know, you know, I did bring up capitalism because we live in a capitalist society and we live in an oppressive society, that a lot of times we view success and wealth, and I said whatever that is, I think we got, black folks have a unique challenge, and that's redefining what that is or having us look at it with more clarity and saying that, you know what, this is the value that, you know, Ron has or Tylon has, or like we're coming together. We're working together to bring this show together, but at the heart of it is to also heal families and heal our community and then also give a voice to the voiceless. There's a lot of people who are marginalized, discounted. Censorship is heavy now because you can't even say COVID. You got to say jab and, you know, so, you know, to try to create a safe space. And that's why we've called it, you know, the Colored Only Cafe, you know, so that we have more safe spaces for black people to come together and speak our truths so that we can come up with real, meaningful solutions and really look at questions that you presented, you know, today in terms of, you know, how do you really help family? Sometimes helping families is just listening or calling a person, letting them know that you care about them. And that's, and that can go a long way to even self-motivate and heal our communities, you know. So, it's a dynamic. It's an important question. I love your show. I love your topics. And I just want to say, you know, don't marginalize how great you are in terms of your show, your reach, and your influence. Your very real influence that you have, not just with me, but all your callers. I mean, I've been on the show for years, and the numbers that, you know, just keeps growing. You know, even when you take breaks and people, I see them on Facebook saying, when's your show coming back? You know, yeah. When's the next one? And you, that's the magic that you possess, because you talk authentically. You don't sound over rehearsed and, you know, like you're selling something all the time. And I think that's what people gravitate. And that's the magic of the Caden Burnett Show on the Edge, because we all are. And that's what I love the title, you know, as a black, as black people, we are always on the edge.
I appreciate it. Yeah. And that was really to pertain to my straight talk, that I don't hold any I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I don't like, you know, everybody, when they talk about a main topic that's in the news, they only talk about the aspect that you see on the front page, but they don't talk about the underlying reason why it became a front page thing. And that is the problem. They're not talking about the things that, you know, corporate America doesn't want to talk about. They say that they're doing these, they say that they're doing these data surveys to find out what we need, but yet they're not in the place that the need arises in. And they're making this blanket decisions on what they feel we need, and they make things worse. They took away a parent's right to parent. They took away a parent's right to guide their children into the most biggest decisions that transition their lives. They took away a child's right to be educated by the parent in certain such things. They took away a parent's right to discipline in a way that's full of love and understanding by making these blanket laws against the 97% and for the 3%. And I'll give you an example as to what I'm saying, in case those don't understand me. Right now, they say that a child has the right to go to somebody and get an abortion, get birth control, speak about medical issues with a doctor without a parent being in the room if they're under 18. They don't need to ask permission. They don't need to go for the fear, and listen to this, for the fear that a parent, there's children who have told their parents they were pregnant and they got beaten or kicked out. Now, let's look at that. Let's look at that. I don't know who that is, but someone needs to mute their mic because I'm hearing background noises. But I will say this. Let's look at that scenario. Yes, very real cases of abuse are out there by parents. Very real cases. I'm not talking about people who are just disciplining their children. There are very real drunken parents that take pipes and beat their children and burn their kids and starve their kids. You wind up finding out some of them hid their kids in closets and they wind up being dead for days, whatever. I'm not speaking about those things not being real. But I'm saying that the average parent that has a child in a pool of parents is not there to beat their child to death, is not having a child so they can kill them, is not having a child or being upset that they're pregnant so that they could beat them and get rid of them or anything like that. What society needs to stop telling our children is that, oh, if your mother is upset because you're pregnant at 15 and your father said something loud or maybe in a reaction that might have been what happened, you know, then it's abuse. The hell it is. The hell it is. And I'm going to say this to you as a parent. I'm a parent that I live in 1987 in the year 2021. And that's what I tell my kids all the time. Out there in the world, it's 2021. I don't run the world. In this house, it's 1987 and I'm the boss. And this is the way it goes. You damn right a parent is going to be upset if their 14-year-old son or daughter comes to them saying that they have a sexually transmitted disease or that they're going to be a parent or that they had sex early. You know why? Because we know what we taught them or what we're trying to protect them from. We know that when they get to that world where they are rightfully in their place to have permission to do that or to give consent to do that when they're actually aware, it's already going to be hard enough. But don't you sit there and say that a child can go do everything they were told not to do or taught is dangerous to do and did it anyway, and everything that you tried to protect them from came to fruition. And we're not supposed to have a reaction. What you should be understanding, and I tell this to my teenagers all the time, what you should understand is you're damn right I'm going to have a reaction. And it ain't going to be a pretty one because you don't get the right to walk out and do dangerous things to yourself. And then don't expect when the danger happens to you that we're not going to react. What you need to understand is that reaction will pass. And when I calm down, I'm the one that's going to have your back through the situation. And that is an issue. There is something I want to read. I want to read to all of you. And those of you, we still have time for you guys to call in, 347-327-9967. Please press 1 if you want to speak to me. This is a situation right now that our children are in, okay? Our children are in because our families are not coming together the way that they should to actually support like a village. Like I said to you, everybody wants something. Not everybody, but those people that come in, if they want something, and that's the way it seems to lean all the time, other things are going to get taken out. Now, this is a piece that was written. I want you to hear it. This is regarding what most kids are experiencing today. And with our families not listening, this is happening under that voice, okay? And this is it. This is a piece that was written in regards to teen dating violence. You may have heard this before, Ty, but to those of you who are new and talk to me about it, this is what I'm going to tell you I want your kids and these teens to hear. But this is the poem, and it goes, "My God, this must be heaven," were the words that came to mind when I saw that look in your eyes as you looked at me as if I were the only person standing on the lunch line. If only I could make my parents understand, but they just don't want to see. You could have anybody else in the world, but instead you wanted me. I know that the bruise on my arm looks really bad, but I know you wouldn't have done that if I didn't somehow make you mad. My parents kept telling me that what we have isn't love, because if we did, there would never be a harsh word exchanged between us, let alone a shove. But they weren't there when you said sorry. They didn't see the way you cried. And if they had any sense at all, they would understand how conflicted you were inside. You went through so much to get me back. You brought me flowers and apologized on your knees, as a matter of fact. And it was so much better for 3 weeks after we made up that I made a solemn vow to never let anything or anyone break us up. You've been by my side everywhere that I go. And you even get upset when I went somewhere and you didn't know. You see, I got your back. No one understands you like I do. I understand why my eye is black and blue. But what I don't understand is why my parents can't hear me. And why are they crying so loudly every time they come near me? And why am I lying flat on my back looking up at a massive crowd? A crowd of almost all of my loved ones, and why are they crying so loud? I struggle to sit up, and I take a look around. I scream out, it's okay, everybody, I'm fine, but I can't make a sound. And finally, it hits me as I catch sight of my name, carved out on a tombstone that reflects the love from whence it came. Real love captures your heart. The words, I love you, takes your breath. Real love never hurts you. Love that hurts equals death. I need that to reflect with everybody so that they can understand. The teams are falling under this mess because everybody is out there looking to serve themselves when somebody that that's done the work that they need to do has done it, and they want to draw on those people's coattails rather than say, hey, let's all do this together. Let's see what we can all do together so that we can make something that spreads out, that all of our kids and all of our community can get together and find a place somewhere in this village that applies to me. That poem was called I Love You to Death. It was written by me in 3 minutes 3 years ago when I witnessed a 12-year-old girl with bruises on her face because she was in a relationship, because her parents were out there trying to work hard but not really deal with her when they came home. Because one mother was busy trying to walk off and be young because the father walked off. And guess what? I don't have time. I've raised you. I've done my job. She's 12. She doesn't have a job. She can't file taxes. You didn't raise her yet. But I can understand mama's frustration because now everybody has got to do it by themselves. Where's the village? Where's the family in that? That girl said to these two other girls she was sitting with that I got beat up because he loves me. And you know what? I'm not beautiful because people don't hurt beautiful things. Where was the family for that child? Go ahead, Ty.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a very powerful piece there. You know, and I just want to say, too, that, you know, there are very real barriers that, you know, make it very difficult for us to see each other, find each other, love each other, you know, be as supportive as we possibly can. You know, a lot of hurt people. And, you know, I think there's a legacy, pain, bad information, just... A lot of dysfunction, and that's why, you know, what it is that you're doing, the work that I know that Ron does every day, all day, it's going to actually bring about us having a community. I don't believe we have a community. We don't, and I keep reminding people that, you know, we have places where Black people live, you know, but we don't control jack. And it's weird in the backdrop of all, you know, a lot of rappers, ball players, people who are having, you know, some relative financial success. But, you know, it's not culminating into what could be even remotely viewed as Black power. And, you know, some of those things are going to be dealt with. Hopefully with this convention, some of these things are being dealt with on your show. Some of the things are going to be dealt with our show, the Colored Only Cafe, which starts December 20th at 9 o'clock. It's a Monday. And I'll provide you and your incredible listeners the access number because it's going to be on Zoom. So, you know, we can see you, we can say hi, you could see us. We'll be able to, you know, exchange information. There's going to be the chat and all this other kind of stuff so that we could do the work to make sure that, you know, we can heal the people who are Black and blue in our community and people who are Black and blue in their hearts. You know, mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are Black and blue in their minds. You know, I rode the subway today on the way to this convention in Newark, and it was just a guy, you could just see, you know, just a sense of, I guess, dread, unhappiness. And I don't know if it's just, maybe they just unleashed a lot of the homeless and mentally ill people on the subway. It's like almost a parade of people, you know, kind of acting out. One guy was just fidgeting, like, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I'm like, a lot of people are tweaking, a lot of people are on drugs. You know, these pharmaceutical, I mean, I know it's another show. I don't want to get off topics, but I just wanted to say after hearing that very deep and reflective poem that's so full of, you know, our pain and just recognizing, too, that you know, this is the time for us. And so when I say us, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about Ron, and just and folks in general who are doing that kind of work in the space of healing our minds. Because that's the key. You know, we have a lot of money or access to money, but we're not spending it with each other. That's a mental thing. You know, or we're not loving each other. That's a mental thing. Or we're not giving each other what we need and understanding that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of abuse and pain is manifesting itself in ways that we're not really fully conscious of. And so
I'm sorry. I had a delayed transmission. I had a delayed transmission. I thought it ended. I'm sorry, hon. And, you know, to bring back everything we just said full circle to tonight's topic, when I said love that hurts equals death, not necessarily always, you know, we've been bringing it out of the actual, the literal context of the poem into the proverbial aspect of what toxicity does in relationships. Because there are people that are out there, that even if you have conversations with them, even and we're speaking family and friends, even if you have these conversations with them and you tell them and you're pouring your heart out about how you feel about the way that they're handling you or they're coming to you. And like I said, sometimes you'll get the, oh, you know what? I didn't even realize I'm doing that. I'm sorry. And then they'll full circle and do it all back again by the next week. That means that that person needs to have some sort of personal professional help to help them deal with that, or they're just not going to try to change. And that, in turn, though, then comes back to, I see you, Cole. I'm going to bring you in just 1 second. That then comes back to the fact that you, the person doing the support, is going to start losing more pieces of yourself, and you're going to start becoming frustrated in your life. And your life is going to start becoming their life. And I know if you remember when we had the codependent relationship segment where when you're trying to sit there and help someone fix their problems or fix their life, or you're like, even if we are helping them financially, or if we are, you know, helping them by listening at any time and dropping whatever we have to do to help them, you know, to talk to them, like eventually that becomes what you're doing, and you don't have time for yourself and your life. And that's not the way it's supposed to be, a balanced relationship. Everybody is supposed to have some time and some space to be themselves while they become a team member as well. And if more than one person, I mean, if only one person is doing more than their fair share of the work, it's not a balanced relationship. And there's some people you're going to have to make a conscious and aggressive effort to cut out of your life. Not necessarily saying I'm never going to speak to them again, but know that there's a limited way to deal with them, and it can't be by you. Like, that person can't live with you, and that person can't be around your kids if they're not trying to improve what's toxic about them. There's another call coming in, and since time is winding down a bit, I don't want to just hang right there with me, okay?
Sure.
Hey, welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, Kate, it's Terry. Just wanted to say hello and showing support for the show. And good evening to your callers also.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, I want to hear what you have to say, so let's go.
All right. I've been listening, and I've thought about how I view my family and friend relationships. And I view them as, if they're balanced, there's a reason why. And if they're not balanced, there's definitely a reason why. So I equate them both with the difference in the intellectual capacity and the spiritual beliefs of the family and the friends. So when you have, for me, anybody who knows me or is friends with me, we have a level that we think at. There's this kind of sense of instinct that we have intellectually where we know each other, we respect each other, so there's a balance. Same thing with our spiritual beliefs. We believe in something, and those who don't believe in something, how are you ever going to be equally balanced with that person in a relationship? So what I'm seeing is the toxicity comes in when there's an unbalance in the way that that person thinks and what that person brings to the table intellectually and what that person brings to the table spiritually, or the lack thereof. So here's an example. you talked about the poem, you talked about the young lady who she's beat up by the boyfriend, but somehow she's equating that with her fault. That mm-hmm. clearly shows you there's some toxicity in the relationship, and that young lady isn't aware of her own intellectual capacity nor her spiritual strength. Because if she were, obviously she wouldn't take the blame for somebody putting their hands on her and saying, oh, it must be something I did. She would mm-hmm. recognize that, no, that person who hit you, somewhere in that person's life, there's a spiritual unbalance and there's something going on with that person intellectually that needs to be addressed. So I always see them as not, if you're not equally connected in those areas, you're going to have these problems. You guys were talking earlier about the hitting the lottery and what you do with the money and who you'd help and who you wouldn't help. So I can tell you now, no one in your family, no one in your friendship circle would deserve anything unless you know for a fact that that person has the intellectual capacity to use the money wisely and the person has some sense of spiritual balance where you know they're not going to take it and go crazy with it, nor take it and do something evil with it. So me, I'm not going to help just anyone because they're my family, and my family kind of already knows how I am. So they know you can't get anything out of me unless I know where you're coming from in two ways. One, what are you thinking in terms of what you're going to do with this money? Like, for example, I got a brother. No, I wouldn't give my brother $1 million because I already know what he's going to do with it. Nothing productive. I wouldn't give my sister $1 million. Why? Well, because I know intellectually she doesn't really have the ability to use the money wisely. So if I was going to help, obviously I have to instruct them first or teach them what to do and how to actually handle the money before I give it to them. But these things, when you talk about risk factors, I always see it as if you're not even in the same ballpark in the way that you think, how are you going to have a healthy relationship? I don't see you having one because you're not thinking the same way at all. Same thing with load level. If I'm carrying most of the load, and you're sitting there watching me as opposed to getting the other end of the load so that it becomes balanced, that's more proof that you can see that we're not thinking alike at all in terms of how we think intellectually or spiritually.
I totally get you. I totally get you. Are you guys still on, Tylon and Ron?
Yes.
Ron, I'm going to ask you if you want to elaborate on what Terry had to say.
I mean, I think Terry said exactly, and I think this is an important factor here. Terry said very clearly what he believes that he wants to do if he was in a situation, and I think that's one of the first parts of us knowing ourselves, knowing what we will do or won't do, because that's where the problem comes. If I know that I'm not going to do something, I'm not going to end up feeling pressured to do something else. And that's where a lot of times our mistakes are made, that because people begin to use the pressure of friends, the pressure of family, to then convince me to do something and change my emotional intelligence, as well as my emotional integrity. Because I knew that this is not something I should have did, but I did it because family first, or family is family type of mindset. So I agree 100% with me. If you know what you're not going to get. But I also know this. And the opposite of that is there's a likelihood those same people that you wouldn't give money to, they wouldn't give you money either. Because they don't have that. They wouldn't give you money if they won the lottery. You know? And so that's something for you to really mind, to think about in the capacity of, oh, how do we help out? They will not probably help you out.
And bingo. I mean, that's Terry, you definitely always come in with the, you know, like the drilling nail into the coffin. Tylon definitely has something to say, and you definitely just hit it too, Ron. Absolutely. I think that we grew up, like I said, being drilled that, listen, this is your sister, this is your brother, and you have to have their back all the time. Having their back doesn't always necessarily mean that you enable them or you give them certain things. Look, I'm a single mom. I was a single mom even when the father was with me. My thing is, if I found a way through all my disabilities, through all of my problems, through all of the non-support that I had from people, through with my large family being a single mom, and still found time to get where I'm at, through all the tears, through all the crying, through all the standing strong when people said horrible things. I'm not necessarily saying that everybody's going to have my type of strength, but I don't see the attempts being made to even try. This is the situation. If somebody is coming to you and you know that they're doing every damn thing in the world to try to make it, and no matter what they do, something isn't coming together, and you have that last little thing that can push them in the right direction to be self-sufficient, by all means, I think that that's something that's your responsibility or your obligation as a village, not so much being blood related. But if you know, like all of us tonight has mentioned, if you know that that person is going to talk real good after the wine wears off, or they're going to talk real great when the high wears off, or they're constantly trying to be involved with sexual relationships, but they don't really have the money to be the player they're trying to be, and they're going to go and bounce from house to house. I'll give you a perfect example. I have a friend of mine who has a son. That son has the best job. Let me tell you, you want to talk about a job that pays well, with benefits, with union, with paid vacations, with raises annually, with quarterly bonuses back and forth, whether you've been there for 3 years or 1 year, and it keeps building, plus loyalty bonuses, and you're in your 40s, and you can't keep your own apartment. You have no children. You have no responsibilities, but you're living off of your siblings' couches, your mom's couch, you bouncing from one place to another. You don't have money to pay bills, but you have money to look good, to wear watches, to buy the latest iPhone, to do all of this, because the good money that you're making, you're prioritizing it or funneling it into things that you can walk and wear, not realizing that each of those walk and wear items you have are going to become outdated in 2 weeks. But the people that are there with their children, that's saving, that even if they can't save and they're living penny to penny, but they're making that penny to penny work for what's important in life. And to you from the outside, because you couldn't fathom it, it looks like, hey, you must be doing really well for yourself. No, I just know how to take my pennies and shop like I look like I'm shopping for $1 million. And if you were to sit down and figure out how I do that, I could show you how it works. But you know, you want to just lay on my couch and pay nothing, and your sister cooks really well, and she's a good-hearted person, so she doesn't want to give you, let you eat in front of you without offering you a plate or something like that. And these are things that you are okay with. But you have all this money in your pocket, and you wouldn't even say, if I'm going to eat at your house, at least let me go pick up a chicken or let me go do something. That is toxicity. That is a toxic way to be. And if that person is doing it because they don't know any better, but they're not trying to hear when someone's telling them the damage they're causing to that person, then it's their problem to deal with. I'm not saying cut them off and never speak to them again. I'm saying that that's not something that you are qualified to help, because while you're trying to help them, you're becoming engrossed in what they're doing and you are losing out the grip of what you're doing. And that is a problem. It's uneven and it's not going to work. That's my take on it. Let me just make sure there's no new callers coming in. Guys, I know a lot of you are saying that you didn't know. You have to press 1 if you're on the telephone line in order to talk to me. If you're live streaming me through the computer or whatever device, you're not going to be able to talk to me without calling in first. So the telephone number is 347-327-9967, and you have to press 1 or I don't know you want to speak. So, we're down to our last half hour here. Once again, oh, my God. Yes, Rita Johnson, I will play the song before we leave tonight. And, okay, so, Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Terry, I need to know, I'm asking everybody because the boys are going to ask me in the morning. What did you think of the new clip?
Yeah, I heard the 30 seconds of it. It went so fast, I really didn't have a chance to really, absorb what I heard. So I can't give a fair assessment because it just went too fast. I didn't get a chance to really get a feel for the flow, rhythm, couldn't really make out the words. So at this point, I can't give a fair assessment as I could last week when you played their whole song.
All right. So yeah, I'll definitely expand the amount of seconds on that preview for them. But thank you. That's a fair assessment. See. Okay. Ron, did you get a chance to hear?
No, I wasn't on when the song was on. I came on a little bit after.
All right. Well, Ron, you're new to my panel, so I just wanted to tell you what an honor it is. Tylon speaks nonstop since, you know, he hooked up with you. He speaks nonstop about all that you contribute to your community and the things that you do, and that's definitely something that I'm about. Thank you from, you know, a black woman looking for a real, well, a man like all of you guys on here to do your part in keeping, you know, and doing your part in trying to maintain some stability in a broken community. And Tylon, you know that, you know, I'm one of your biggest cheerleaders, so that, and Terry, definitely, you know that you got me rah-rah. But now, Ron, when we meet, and you'll hear and see more things, and hopefully we can collab as well, because all of us have, I'm sorry, hon, what'd you say?
I said exactly.
Yeah, all of us have unique contributions that may be unique and may be individual, but it does definitely it collaborates and flows into that collective pool that we need to repair our community. Our family structure needs help. Our children's psyches need to be reprogrammed. We need to stop allowing people to put these psychotropic drugs in our kids. We need to get these parents back into their roles. We need our black men to stop being effeminated as well as demasculized, because I don't know what it is they're trying to do with our brothers. They're trying to take them down a notch. It's like it's horrible. I'm not just saying not just the femininity that's coming up through them, but I'm talking about the fact that they're dismissing the role of the black man altogether. They got these women coming out saying, "Oh, I don't need no man to do anything." Yes, the hell you do. And I'm saying it as a strong woman. I'm a strong woman. I say that I would say it with a megaphone. I'll say it with a flag. I'll wave it in a confetti parade. I'm a strong woman. I know what it means to be strong. Do I want to be strong by choice because I don't want help? Hell no. Absolutely not. If I had the choice to be strong with somebody's shoulder to lean on, hey, I'm taking it. I didn't walk out there and go, hey, I want to have all these babies and do it by myself.
Right.
No. But the choice was this. Either I continue to be a mom because life goes on, or I wivel up and let my kids go do nothing. I was responsible for all those lives that God put in my lap to be the most important role in the world is these children's parents. And I made the decision to bring them here. So I have the responsibility to give them their important first. And then I have the responsibility to be their backup plan when the world fails them when they go out there. But did I choose to do it? Because I want people to go, oh, you are a strong sister. No. You know what that's like? That's like somebody knowing that I'm starving and they have a cabinet full of food. And they know that even though I'm starving and I don't have any money, I'm going to figure out a way to make a gourmet rock soup with a stone, a pot of water, and some salt. And I'm going to make something out of it. But you could have helped me do that. Instead, you go, you're strong. You'll make it work. I don't need to hear that. And family needs to understand that when we say family, it's not just about the fact that you're related to me or we share parents or we share uncles or whatever the case is. Family is community. Family is love. Family is thick and thin.
Right.
Family is picking up the slack when that person who should be doing it has done all they can and something still fell short.
You know, it brings to mind, you know, I'm listening to you speak, like, you know, how we define a lot of things. Family, we're talking about that, how that's defined, you know, how we define, you know, the way that, you know, we look at success, right? And a lot of times we look at money, you know, and things like that. But, you know, we need to have these kinds of conversations. I'm so grateful for these conversations. And even when, you know, I'm listening to you and how, you know, you talk about, you know, your life and having children and choices. You know, we live in a very pretentious society. And I think for me, and I think I read this somewhere, you know, making mistakes is better than faking perfection. And we have a lot of people acting like they're perfect, like they dookie don't stink, and you know we're all human, and we're, you know, we're a human family, and you know sometimes we can vibe with a certain person, but I'm gonna tell you your secret sauce is that real knows real, and you're gonna attract real people to your show, you know, like the caller. You know, Ron, myself, and, you know, others who are listening in and hopefully trying to get in. And, don't ever look at numbers, you know, because the algorithm, you know, they do a lot of things to stifle authentic voices because they want to pump a certain narrative. I think you should focus on what you have, and that's the quality. And once again, it goes into how we define success. You know, for me, it's never been numbers. I'd rather have, you know, 20 tight soldiers than, you know, 100 that's, you know, in your circle but not in your corner. So, you know, having 10 people that's really in your corner, you're going to realize that you're going to travel a lot lighter, you're going to have a whole lot less stress, and you're going to have, you know, a more meaningful life. And I think once people start to redefine family, what that is, and have conversations about that, you know, every family needs to have a certain code, a certain way of conducting themselves and sharing certain important values, you know, whatever they are. You know, and so that, you know, everybody can kind of be in sync, you know, and try to attain certain goals, especially since, you know, the attack in our community is very real. We're constantly being attacked with images. We're bombarded with messages that are anti-life, you know, when you see people glorifying murder and celebrating it, you know, in song and dance and all that other kind of stuff. I mean, that's an attack. It's an attack on your psyche, on your consciousness. There's an attack on education and information and where that information is disseminated, and, you know, that we have to even speak in code today, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's very real that we are under attack as a community, because the people who really know and understand, they understand our magnificence, and they understand our power, even more than we, some of us even, you know, understand it, and they understand that that's a real threat to them always constantly coming into our communities and going to the bank. Meanwhile, you know, we're trying to figure out how to, you know,
pretty much.
Feed and clothe ourselves. So,
meanwhile, our feed and clothe money is in their bank from on stolen bags, you know, I get it. And as far as the fact, you know, it's funny you mentioned about algorithms. You know, I hope all of you know me well enough to know that the next statement I'm going to make is not coming from any place of vanity. But I started the show with three friends on a piece of paper on my dining room table 8 years ago. And the only thing that triggered this was personal heartbreak and personal anguish that we were going through at that time. That became my first topics. Not that I shared my experience, but I didn't present the topic as my family was going through this. I went through it as I spoke about the general topic, because it's a community issue. And then I let my readers, my listeners know that I'm walking this walk with you, you know, that we went through. And I do share some personal things here and there to let everybody know what I'm going through, that, you know, I feel when they find out how we went through, how we came through it, you're not alone. But I will say this, I am very confident in the quality of person that I am. I am very confident in my intentions when I put this show forward, the things I put out there, the things that I want to talk about. So I'm confident in that, and I don't really care if I get, you know, 9 billion views or 6,000 likes. I wish people would come through and that many things happen. I would feel happy. But I will tell you this, in all my not counting and not looking in the last 3 days, and understand, I've been sick and I haven't even been on the air at the time I should have been. Plus, we had a couple of storms that knocked out our towers over here. But let me tell you something. When I checked my numbers again, I picked up 200 callers in the last 3 days, and I haven't even been on the air. So when I checked where they were coming from, it wasn't even in the States. So that tells me, and there was a guy that sounded like he had racism issues, but now he's one of my biggest callers, and I think those of you on here know what I'm talking about because of a topic that I put out about what men go through with regards to society telling them that they're not allowed to be in pain and they're not allowed to cry and they're not allowed to feel. And if they were raped, it's not really rape because, you know, it was a female and she had a nice body. The fact that he said no or didn't want that didn't count because society tells you men you're not supposed to feel. Suck it up. Take it like a man. You got a big cut in your arm and you're bleeding and it's bleeding out. Come on. That's a war wound. The hell it is. You are human. And you feel. You may not feel like we feel. You know, in other words, you may not cry and dabble or put a powder puff on your face, but the tears are embedded in you as you were created the same way it is in a woman. Just because society allows us to more openly express it doesn't mean you guys don't have the right to do so too. That's the stuff I'm talking about when I say if we want to get to the bottom of stuff actually changing, it's not going to change if we keep saying, but men are always the dogs, but women don't do this. Because when a woman tries to act like a man, believe me when I tell you, she's more devious, more worse, and much more cruel than a guy will ever be. Because a guy is naturally tough. He's naturally mean. He's naturally, you know, physical. But when a woman who's emotional tries to puts it into physical, it becomes a lot more passionate and intense. So if a guy stabs a guy because, you know, he's mad in the moment, when a woman thinks about it, she's stabbing with strategy behind it and intense emotion. So a lot of times a crime committed by a woman is a lot worse. And when a woman plays a guy about paternity on a dude, on a kid, on a child, deliberately, believe me, that man hurts. And it doesn't do anything for him. And that's the issue. And when that pride, that society-induced pride protocol steps into place, then that child is doubly robbed of a life because that man can only think, I love him, but it's still not mine. Because society said, hey, you a sucker if you take on another man's kid. And you know what's funny? 90% of the people who say that are people that were raised by somebody else anyway. Talk about discombobulated. Now, since you guys are like, you know, well, Ron, you're new to the group. Just a little slight thing I have to inflict here because I need you guys to send up some well wishes. In the next couple of days, I'm not going to reveal too much, but something very scary and personal is going to happen to me. I have to take a test, and I've got to find out, you know, if there's some issues going on with me that with my health. And I'm a little scared. Because there's certain things that never happened to me before, and it's a mammogram, just to let you know. And I know there was some women talking about it today because one of the things I plan to do is to come up with the wellness day, a day that I'm going to have a segment just dedicated to wellness. And I haven't had the strength to do that just yet, but I've been kind of avoiding it, and I know that, yeah, I'm saying this because this is my vulnerability, super strong host lady, is reaching out to you guys out there. It's been my support group. I'm going to need all of y'all to talk to your God and whatever things that you guys do because I'm a little scared, just a little bit. And I have to wait a week after that to find out. So I'm trying to delve into this situation with my show, keep it up and running. But they kind of like have me on lockdown running and doing certain things so I can't control my own life when it comes down to being summoned by the medical police when they come and get me. But just to let you know, guys, I'm actually reaching out to y'all for some support in that respect morally. But I'm going to be one of those really like stubborn damn patients that's going to be still working from the hospital bed upset in my doctors. So just to let you know that, you know, I'm not going down. So thank you guys for that. Just thank you guys for that.
I'm sure you're going to be in the best of care. You know, I'm sending definitely positive energy and healing energy your way that, you know, whatever it is, it's going to be a positive outcome in the end. You know, because your voice is so necessary and it's so needed. And you got a lot of stories to tell. You have a lot of people to heal. And, you know, you have a great team here.
Thanks for that. I needed it. But I want to get it back in to let everybody know our family structure has to get back in shape. One of the things that this community, our people, our black and brown people, one of the biggest beacons that kept us going through the worst of trials, through the worst of tribulations, has been a strong family structure, has been strong marriages, has been the sacred reverence of a family, whether it was your blood child or not. Being that big brother to somebody whose brother was off the cuff. And we cannot internally break our own structure by thinking that we demand of our siblings or our family members or of our best friends the right to live off of what it is that they've built, whether it's money, whether it's surviving something that other people couldn't survive without a lot of help. Or you believe if I went through that, I'd be nuts by now. Whether it's that strength, whether it's the fact that that person with no money can make a happy home regardless, whether it's something that you wish you could do, but your brother, sister, cousin, aunt, friend, bestie did it. Instead of you feeling entitled to getting in on that, why don't you ask them how you can be a part of it, but with your own contributions and doing something or taking something from that experience that applies to you so that we could all be supporting each other in our unique talents as a team and not feel like, you know, I'm mooching or I'm competing or I want to bring that person down because I wish I had it. And for those of you like Brother Ron just said today, success guilt. Why are you feeling guilty for being successful? If unless you came out of that being like, well, you're beneath me now. I mean, that is not something that you're supposed to do. So what is it that makes you feel guilty? And this I'll say, only if the people who's talking it had the same opportunities you did. I'll give you an example because we have about 11 minutes left. Let's start off with the first job our kids will most likely get at 16, which will be something like McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King. Now, if you walk into Burger King and you are told that if you read this manual, the company is offering internal promotions, meaning if you accomplish X, Y, and Z, you could be manager A, B, or C within this amount of time. If you know this and you study that and you perform this way and you follow the standards and you are health department compliant and you are customer service friendly and you are involved, you have the right to apply for the next position and we will consider you because you are in-house. And that person that came in with you the same day that you got hired had the same opportunity to climb the ladder like you did and decided, nah, I'm just going to go take my money so I can get my kicks and I'm going to go home, doesn't come in, doesn't change the sanitizer, doesn't change gloves, has a problem with the customer that had an attitude, did all this stuff and didn't get promoted, but you did in a short time, then that's on them. It wasn't like there was an unfair competition. It wasn't like that person that studied and did the hard work didn't have the same bite at the apple that you did. So why would you feel guilty? And that's the one thing we have to learn as family members and friends. You cannot apologize or feel bad or denounce your hard work and the accomplishments that you achieve from it. Yes, we want to help the people that you know, didn't get where we are, if we can, how we can do it. But it's not to give them a hand out. It's to give them a hand up, an edge up. Listen, if you're really interested, I know the manager. I can give the manager your name as a shot for you to come in and apply. I'm going to tell you this. A person could be sleeping with the manager in the store, and if there's a higher-up corporate position, I don't care how good the sex is with that person. If that manager has to refer you to a higher-up person, you still have to prove your worth to that higher-up person in order to get the job. So all that hoopla means nothing. And if I came in and I say, hey, Tylon, I know the manager who is looking for assistant position. You know, you've got the qualifications. If you're interested, I could put your name in. I'll put in a good word for you. That doesn't mean that I'm going to walk you in there and interview for you. That means that I have an opportunity that kind of helps you get ahead of, you know, push, get up the ladder just a little bit to get to that destination that you would have had to go through 3 extra steps for. What you do with it is on you.
Right.
And if you choose to mess it up, then me, I can't feel bad. It's like if you set me up with a friend you know. From what you know about both of us, we seem like good people for each other. Just because we both know you, if the relationship fails, it's not for you to feel guilty, and we can't blame you. You just brought us the opportunity and the platform. What we did with it is on us. And that's where, when that attitude starts becoming a problem, that it's spilling over into the way that you have your life, you have a right to have the life set up the way you want it. And you have a right to invite people into your life. But if they start to mess with the chi of your life, with the organization of your life, because of problems that they have to fix, it's toxic. No matter how much you may love them, it's toxic. And there's no rule that says you can't love a person from a distance if you know that they're toxic. And you have to set boundaries in your life in order to have some order in your life. That is something that can't be upset. The order of your life cannot be upset because other people don't want to have order in theirs. And nobody has the right to demand something of you that they didn't work for. That's just not right. If you're trying to help that person, it doesn't necessarily mean you bail them out. We have 8 minutes. So, Terry, last words?
Disagreeing with everything you said, but it's a couple of things you guys mentioned that, you know, I was, you know, my opinion on it is, let me just talk about success. Success in man's terms, it's based on money. It's based on, you know, the big house and the big car and how much money you got in the bank. But that's not success.
No.
That means you've studied, you've learned some things, and okay, now you got a few trinkets to show for it. Success for me is anything that you're involved in that you've done well enough to go to the next day and do the same thing again, and you've been successful then, that's success. It's moving forward. That's what success is. It's not based on you having $1 million. Let me give you an example. I know people personally who had the college degree, never struggled in their lives, had everything they wanted. They're dead now. So What did the success really mean? Then conversely, I know people, I'm going to use myself as an example and some other people I know, we're approaching 60 years old, haven't had the college degrees and the money and the success and all that, but I'm still alive, so I'm successful in that sense. Also, I'm responsible to my community. To me, that's success, meaning I don't see the black community, people of color, brothers and sisters, as being above reproach. Nobody is. So some of the wounds, like when Tylon was talking about, you know, in our communities and some of the things that happen within our communities that aren't positive, I see some of the things in our community that are not good. They're self-inflicted. They don't come from white men, black men, Asian. They don't come from any other race. They're self-inflicted problems within our community. What are you talking about? I'm talking about laziness, slothfulness, not wanting to work, you know, impregnating 5 women, knowing you can't take care of any of the babies. That's self-inflicted in our community. And so some of those attacks that he talked about, like these are ours that we can do something about. But you got to get men to want to be responsible. And my beautiful sisters aren't exempt either, because it takes two to make that baby. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, come on. You know, we have to do better. But the laziness, the slothfulness, environment, your upbringing, you can use that to a certain point. I could, because I was raised by a single mother. My dad died when I was 6 days old. But I didn't use that as an excuse to, you know, poison my neighborhood, drugs, alcohol, babies, and all that nonsense. So I think, again, success is based on you yourself, what you bring to the table, and how well you do that thing. And balance is what we have to have in our lives. If you remember back in the old days, there was balance in the black family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For example, the balance was this. The black father, he went out and he worked, period. That was his equation in the balance factor. The woman, the mother, she stayed at home. She made sure everything associated with that house was tight. That was her balance. That was her equation in the balance. So when you put the two together, you had a black household that was balanced. So when the kids came inside of that household, they wasn't in there running around, cutting up, acting a fool. They understood there's a sense of responsibility in this house. Dad has a certain part. Mom has a certain part. And together, they're telling me what my role is. So we've removed all of that, and now you see a lot of these families are just full of chaos because there's nobody in there to help restore that balance. So for me, I just see balance as something in every facet of everything we do that we've got to strive for. You need that balance. If you're not equally connected in those areas, you're going to have the problems that we talked about tonight.
Absolutely. Ty, you have any last words? We have about 4 minutes left.
Well, I just want to remind everybody to check out the Call It Only Cafe coming December 20th on Zoom, where we're going to be talking about some of these issues and how we find our place in some of, you know, find ourselves in some of these difficult spaces and places, and how we can kind of reverse engineer a lot of these concepts and ideas that we have about each other. You know, I've seen great ingenuity dealing with young people when they want to do certain kind of things, and then a lack of energy when they're doing other things. And you know, so I think it deserves some analysis. And so I want to invite this good brother to our program, of course, Katie, and all your listeners. It's going to be something unlike any experience that you've seen or heard on the internet. The internet has a lot of mind poison and disinformation, and this is going to be nutritious for your mind, the Call It Only Cafe.
You got it. And I can vouch for your projects. I can vouch for your projects, like I can vouch for Mr. Terry over here and his input. And Brother Ron, you have anything to say in our last 3 minutes?
No, just that it was a pleasure to be here, and I hope everyone looks first at themselves and see where they can find that peace that they're looking for.
Thank you, and it was an honor to have you, sir. I am going to go out. Yes, Rita Johnson, I will play the song again. I can't believe it. Like my sons are getting requests, and they're like 14, so I definitely would like you guys, please, if you want to know how to follow Untitled Music, reach out to an email at teamontheedge@gmail.com. Team like basketball, team on the edge like the show, @gmail.com. In the subject line, you must put down hyperlink information, okay, so that I know that's what you're looking for. Keep on the lookout. We're going to be building a new site, website. Everything's going to be coming up soon, and we're going to be looking out for some jumpstart internships for our youngsters and some single moms. Now, with that being said, I'm going to head out, guys. On Friday, part three, the conclusion, we are going to be speaking on the relationship balance between parents and children, because both sides try to test the waters, okay? Parents with their adult children and teenagers with their parents. So here we go. We're going to speak about that on Friday, and I will see you then. Now, barring any medical issues, I should be here. If not, you know I'll definitely be having a makeup session. So with that being said, guys, here's Colorless by Untitled 3D. I'm going to say it like that. It's untitled, but of Amazon says Untitled 3D. And that's what we'll be going out with tonight. So until Friday night, everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference, guys. Get out there and do what we got to do. And I appreciate you guys. Good night.
Thoughts destroyed my health. I'm locked in the dark and I can't get out. I'm afraid of these demons that feed in my doubts. But I messed up, can't stand up. Waiting is the key, so I'm told I don't wanna die. Live alone, I have hurt when I'm old. Can I wait? No. And right now I'm questioning if I can go on. My brain will blister, he's just a boy. But them dark thoughts took away his joy. Well, the devil sits and plays him like a toy. While the boy is gone, consider no no better. The devil sits and writes his letter to another kid who was also lost. He manages to get his favorite sweater as he puts him in your place, or at least what he told you. Made you believe you were best friends to the very end, but you're not. Ooh, yeah. I need help for myself. Can anyone help me? I'm in a dark place, dark time. Can anyone save me? All these demons in my head, I feel like I can't fight.
Haunted in the shadows, in my mind, it's a battle.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.